biblical hope, now faith, hope, and love. Real biblical hope is an expectation with a desire and an expectation to see it happen. Is there a desire? If you can desire something, but you never really expect it to see it happen, it's not biblical hope. But faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. It's interesting because the Phillips translation puts it this way. Now, faith means putting our full confidence in the things we hope for. It means being certain of things we cannot see. So today we're looking at that because faith is our response to everything God says. That's why it's important you know what God says in your life and in circumstances. That's where we're going, the choice of faith. Faith is not in denial. Faith is not blind. We're fully aware of situations that are facing our lives. Many of you are in some very dire situations. And naturally, our nation, I'm encouraged how people are praying constantly. They're praying for our nation. They're praying for our president and his wife. You know the situation, and we're grateful for that. And so we believe in prayer because God's word says he will answer our prayer. So I'm hopeful, and that means I have a desire to see great things for you Americans and those around the world, and I expect to see it happen. I choose to believe God's word. Well, it's important because people think they often need great faith, but we're going to see we just need a little seed, a little mustard seed, because we're looking at how great our God is, and man, did he do a great work in putting the Bible together. So I want to piggyback off of dealing with doubts, and now we're looking at the choice of faith. It's called the choice of faith. And I'd like you to find in your Bible Mark chapter 4. In Mark chapter 4, we're looking at verse 35, a familiar passage of Scripture, Jesus crossing over the Sea of Galilee with his disciples. And I want you to see that Jesus is going to rebuke the elements, the wind and wave, but he never rebukes what's going on inside of a person. That's up to us. That's up to us. You have to deal with the torments or probably the trouble going on and choose to say, Lord, I believe what you're going to do. So Jesus is rebuking the elements, but then he rebukes the disciples for not having faith. Let's look at that together. I'm in Mark chapter 5, and it's important as we take a look, chapter 4, dealing with verse 35, and it says, on the same day when evening had come, he said to them, let us cross over to the other side. And now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern asleep on a pillow, and they awoke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Now, Jesus must have been very tired to be asleep during that kind of gale storm. Man, oh man. But in that, they wake him up. Don't you care that we are perishing? I've heard some people wonder, hey, where is God in heaven? Doesn't he and isn't he alert to what's going on here on planet Earth or in our community? So verse 39, then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. And he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him? But take a look what Jesus had to say to them. Why are you so fearful? And how is it that you have no faith? We're looking at this element of a choice of faith, choosing to believe what God said. What did he say in this storyline? He said, hey, let's get in the boats. We're going to the other side. That's the word of God. So they have the word of God, and they even have God's presence in the boat. How great is that? But yet when the circumstances look rough and threatening, they are exposed when Jesus says, why are you so fearful? And how is it that you have no faith? So you can see here, Jesus is rebuking the elements, but he's asking the disciples, come on, guys, let's believe. Believe we're going to the other side. I said we were, and we will arrive. That's what God is dealing with so many of us. So many of us that are picking up our Bibles because we need the Word of God. Remember Matthew 4:4, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So it's important for us, once again, to recognize our need for the Lord. So that's our message today, the choice of faith. Let's take a look at point number one, genuine faith. Genuine faith. People are saying, okay, what is faith? It's going to believe in something we don't see as if it really is. But I want to stipulate very clearly, faith is centered in the Lord and in His Word. That's where it's at. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, so significant there. But I want you to highlight here three little points. If you're taking notes, you'll see them on the screen. First of all, genuine faith. First, that the Lord is with you. That's important to settle. Isn't it the Lord who says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I am there. I am with you. Secondly, that His Word is true. Boy, that's important. The Word of God is true. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the light. Wow. How important is that? God is with you, and His Word is true. And third, He will not fail you or His Word. And that's the byline of the choice of faith. Why should I choose to believe that God's going to come? Because God will not fail you or His Word. That's why we want to get into the Word of God. Faith is so important. We know we can't be saved without faith. Scripture says that. God says this is how He's going to redeem humanity. Has everybody come? Nope. They've got to place their faith in God's grace. I believe. Do you believe? That's how we got saved. That's how we journey in this life through situations that are challenging to us. Continue to operate in that faith, that little faith. How? Place it on God and His Word. Genuine faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says this, but without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So let's take a little bit of a closer look. Keep that verse there before you, Hebrews 11, 6. Let's break it down. What pleases God? Well, faith, but what is it specifically saying that faith is in action with? Believe that He is. See that there in the verse? That means that God exists. Now, theoretically, we'd all say, oh, yeah, I hear unbelievers, oh, I believe in God. And I hear Christians, oh, I believe in God. But when circumstances are challenging, see, that's when all of a sudden believers can become doubters. Doubts mean we're wavering between faith and unbelief. Why? Well, remember, we were just sharing last week that doubts come when something we expect to happen isn't happening. Ouch. And something we would not expect to happen, all of a sudden, what? It happens and it comes on us. So it's important for us to realize that God exists even when we don't detect anything and situations are problematic. Well, just like the disciples when they're in the midst of a great storm, fearful of their lives. Remember how that when Jesus said in Matthew 18:20, we're all familiar, wherever we gather in His name, He's there in our midst. Let me just pause for a moment. Let's practice our faith. We've gathered, I've led us in prayer. You're around the Word of God. You're listening to this message. God is with us. Let's pause just for a moment. Because God says, I'm there. I'll tell you, it'll transform your perspective when you recognize I am in the midst of God. Lord, reveal and remind us that in Jesus' name, You're here now with us. Amen. Amen. I believe that. I know you do too. And I'm grateful. How about the other part of Hebrews 11, 6? Not only believe that He is, that He exists even in the midst of storms, but believe that He's a rewarder. That's what the verse says, that He's a rewarder. Now, God rewards beyond what we would expect. That's important, that God's not, He's not stingy. Usual cultures, when they believe in a reward, are talking about an employer paying out a wage. He's going to reward you for a job well done, maybe even a tip. But with God, it's not just less than what we would want or just enough, stop praying that way. Just a little bit more, Lord. Man, he's a rewarder. He's a reward. He's there and he rewards. I choose to place my faith in that promise. God, you are a rewarder. It's that Ephesians 3:20 and 21. Write that down. Now unto him who's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we could ask or think, unto him be glory in the church. I'm telling you, it's amazing. So if we think that God it rewards us less than we're even asking, how could that please him? How could that please him? That's why it's important to pray. Boy, I hope that as you and I read our Bible, I know it does me, it awakens our spirit to say, oh man, I've been so fleshly lately, digging in and taking a look at and reading certain social media sites. Oh, I need the Word of God to awaken my spirit. I believe that's where the choice of faith comes in. Remember, faith is not blind. Faith does not deny reality. It's not something that's weird. It's literally saying, I am going through this, but I choose to believe God's word in the midst of that. That's important. It is, once again, we never want to say, well, I'm okay, God's healed me, when really he hasn't yet. It's right to say, you know, I'm still struggling with this physical ailment, or I'm still dealing with this lack, but I choose to believe this promise in God's word. That's where choice of faith kicks in. That's how it operates. That's what pleases God. Let's take a look at one other thing. It says not only that God exists and that he's a rewarder, especially to those who diligently seek him. Can you see that there? That's what I'm seeing. Look at that verse again. It means come often, unashamedly, insisting. It's important. I think the Lord really is excited when we come often to him. He's a rewarder. So we have to be careful. Why are you so afraid, God might say, when we're coming? How is it that you have no faith? You might want to say, well, Lord, I need more of your word. I remember when God was calling me to leave the family business called Quality House, family business in Pasadena, California. I had worked there 8 years. It was a family corporation. It's nice to get a consistent paycheck, nice to have things. I secured a home at that time in Covina. Things were going good, and God was saying, trust me now and take off. Let me tell you, that was a challenging time. But I knew God was asking me to do something, and I could not stay at Quality House. That was the big thing. I knew if I were to be disobedient, that even what I enjoyed might start to come unravel, kind of like that old Jonah, get out of the boat and let's go preach the gospel. So it was a challenging time. It was no doubt. I remember asking God specifically for things. It was just kind of diligently seeking him. I remember just seeing in Luke chapter 11, verse 5 through 10. You might want to check it out. It's important. It's about that persistent neighbor that keeps knocking. And Jesus says, because of his persistent coming, I'm going to answer. Diligently seeking God. Boy, that was very helpful. There were early times God was just developing my faith to trust him because circumstances were lean. We were having some fun exercising our faith and encouraging others, but yet we ourselves, Ainsley, my wife, and I, had to trust the Lord. We had a little 16-month-old baby girl, our first. And so I remember one time when I was asking the Lord, Lord, increase the church attendance, increase the church income so that I could get paid. And I had this little investment bringing in $800 a month, and I wasn't tithing on it. So here comes another round. God said, and I'm asking him for increase. He says, Paul, would you sell that investment if I asked you? And I knew I would. And the Lord just says, then why don't you just tithe 10% to me? And I realized, I get it, Lord. I can have 90%. I don't have to sell it all and give it away. So I did, and it seemed like it was a breakthrough season for our church in Banning, California, called Banning Four Square Church. But that was my experience, diligently seeking him for help in one direction. He started showing me some others. So it's important. I remember the importance of placing my trust in God's word. It was so significant. I remember the time I like peaches, and I got a peach seed, and I decided in Banning I'm going to place that peach pit in the soil. And so I was waiting a couple months. It's like, what is going on? Is anything happening with that peach? I started doubting. I think somebody took it out. I think maybe it just died. It's not functioning. So I dug my fingers into the soil. The peach pit had sprung a sprout. It was growing, but I had destroyed the plant in so checking it out. I had ruined my harvest. Sometimes when the Lord's wanting us to experience and trust him, it's so important to hear what God's word says and to put our choice of faith on it. Oh, man, it gets exciting. Remember, faith is not in denial. We know we're struggling, but we have chosen to say, I'm standing on a promise. And I evaluated that peach pit, that seed, as a seed of the word of God. That's where, especially when I was just pondering, I'd sure like to have a peach tree. I do have one now in Huntington Beach. I have a peach tree in my backyard. But I remember seeing in Matthew 17:20, where Jesus says, so Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, for assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. Boy, to get the word of God when you're wondering where are the needs going to be met, how am I going to meet this circumstance that's challenging? And the scripture in Matthew 17:20, all it takes is a seed, a little mustard seed of faith in a great God. And you just plant that seed right there at that mountain problem. And scripture says, you have that kind of faith, nothing will be impossible. I believe that. I believe Matthew 17:20. Speak to that mountain. The word of God says, wow, it's exciting. Have you done that lately? We're going to practice a little bit in just a moment, but let's take a look at number two, choice of faith. Here we go, the choice of faith. Check out what Mark 11:22 says. So Jesus answered and said to them, here it is, have faith in God. That's it. Doesn't take great faith. It just makes sure you place the faith in the right direction and faith in God. And we know that the word is God. We know that God watches over his word to perform it. Heaven and earth will pass away, but the word of God will not pass away. So it's important. Before long, it's amazing when you're waiting on God or trusting him for things. Sometimes we become impatient and you don't see any sign of that seed of faith in God's promise happening. You have to kind of review it over and over again. Lord, I'm believing on this promise for this situation come about. It could come to you like it's once again happened with that little seed peach pit that all of a sudden you start to wonder, did I really get a word from God? You kind of forget, well, maybe it's not going to happen. You kind of set it on the shelf a little bit. Or you think, well, I think, is that seed still in the soil? Is it doing anything? Maybe I better call that person up. Hey, are you going to hire me? I mean, so you just start to move things around in the soil, and who knows? And you think, somebody's taken it. Somebody's got it before me. Just all these thoughts. That's why that choice of faith, no, God says, he will supply all my needs. So it's important. I like Galatians 6, verse 7, because it just says, whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. Let's sow to the things of God's word to our spirit. Watch out feeding too much of the flesh. I like a great example because, as you know, it's important If you're waiting for God on something, you're in the midst of a real battle. Doubts are starting to rise in there. You know the enemy of your soul would love to make you ineffective. That's how it is. He always tries to bring doubts that God's word can't be trusted. Maybe you're here right now and you've already been distracted and you're not even too sure how to apply the word. Man, just get in there. Get me taught by the Holy Spirit how to apply the word of God. He'll show you. Oh, the Lord knows his book so well. Isn't that so fun? But watch out, because the enemy, Satan, wants to just cause your faith in God's word to be ineffective, causing you to be ineffective. Check out what Romans chapter 9, verse 19 has to say. And it says about Abraham, you know, this guy's waiting to over 20 years for the promise of from God about a child. And it says, and not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but he was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he, God, had promised, he was also able to perform. That's a great definition of faith in action. 20 years waiting. I think that peach pit is nothing's happening. Nothing's happening. But God did come through. I'm glad, aren't you, that our trials are usually 48 hours long. It's like, Lord, oh, come on. It's that good fight of faith is so difficult. That's why the Word of God needs to be front and center on our minds, in our home. We need to talk about the Word of God. There's so many things that'll rip it off. I'm glad our trial, God's so merciful that our trial may be not much longer than a couple of days. I just remember as a youth pastor in Azusa, at Azusa Four Square Church, and how that it seemed like these junior hires were always getting, especially the young girls, were just getting in fights. It's like, what is going on? I pulled a sawed-off pool stick from one of the girls coming into youth group, tucked under her sleeve. Tough group. But God did miracles, saving and securing and healing. And I thank God for what he did for those young people. Now they're all adults having their own families. But I remember when on youth night, they would end up getting in fights and call them, oh, Paul, can you help me with so-and-so? And then I'd get all stressed out and worried. And the next day I'd follow up with all the jousting. And they, oh, yeah, we're good. We made up that night. It's like, what are you? Anyway, it's amazing. I'd like to see our trials go that quick, wouldn't you? But here we have Abraham, 20 years, 22 years waiting for God to come through. How does that look? Letter A, choice. When we make that choice of faith, here it is. Take a look at it on your notes. Choice is between what you know God has said, what the Lord has said, and what your circumstances are saying, or what the enemy of your soul is saying. That's important. You have that kind of choice. Where are you going to plop your faith? That's why we're just saying it's a choice of faith in what God says. Lord, what did you say? You can see now, so significant. Get into the book. Get into the book. Pray and say, Lord, I am facing something. Can you show me where to go? Or just read. It's amazing. God will bring you strength. But it is important. We see in Romans chapter 8, verse 15, it does mention about the spirit of fear, because it's interesting how fear can come in. It is a spirit. It's not of God. It says, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father, Daddy God. So the Bible associates terror as a spirit, an evil spirit. It's not from God. It's important for us. It's a good fight of faith. But I'll tell you, when you're in the midst of that fight, it's difficult. It's challenging. Get good brothers, good sisters that'll stand with you and pray. Not just prayer of pleading. That's good. But just, Lord, we're standing on your word. You're going to come through. Bring a breakthrough. Bring a breakthrough. Oftentimes, people will deny things. They're afraid of areas. They want a particular healing because they're afraid to get sick. They're afraid to die. So usually when we were petitioning the Lord, it should be, Lord, I am in the midst of a challenge, a struggle for my life, for my family, but I choose to believe your word. You do heal because your word promises. And here's one of them right now. Boy, it's so important. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. It's important. Sound mind's ability to really understand and be in control during difficult circumstances. But you can see 2 Timothy 1:7 that it says God has not given you a spirit of fear. So you now have a choice of your own to say, I am going with God, what he says. That is, you have ability to have a control. But be careful about those spirits of fear. What do you should do when fear comes in? You rebuke that. What does that mean? In the name of Jesus, spirit of fear, I command you to go. Command you to go. You'll know when fear comes in. It's very real. It's dreadful. It causes people to doubt. It causes people to jump and panic and do things that are not an act of faith, maybe a fleshly reaction. Probably if I knew the situation you might be going through, I'd probably would agree with you. Man, let's just get to work. But how about saying, Lord, show us what we should do just before we get to work on this problem. It's important for us. Letter B. Let's take a look at that as we press on. You win the moment you believe. That's important. Remember, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Hebrews 11:6. So when do we win if we are people of faith? Because faith comes by hearing the word of God. Romans 10:17. When do we actually get the victory? Scripture says the moment we believe. Even though situations may not change, but as a Christian, as a spirit-filled, spirit-led person, you win the moment you believe. Check it out with me, 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 and 5. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? So two times the word overcome is mentioned. One time the word victory, it's the Greek word Nike. It's that Greek mythological goddess of victory, Nike. And it was used for military victories. It was used for athletic victories. God's words using it for your victory, overcoming as soon as you put your faith in God in a situation. Society suggests you're victorious when you get what you need, when you need it. That's the old way, but as people of God, it's a different format. I will not be afraid. You might say I'm afraid, but I choose not to be afraid facing that. That's important. Never, it's not responsible or even necessarily even truthful to say, no, brother, I'm not afraid. Well, I think we all face that spirit of fear or we are dreadfully concerned. Say, you know what? I'm choosing not to be afraid. I choose to believe God. All things are possible. It's not necessarily responsible to say, I don't doubt. That's not responsible either. You can say, you know what, I'm really doubting. My faith is being rocked. But I choose to believe God's word over my emotions here. That's important. So remember, denial is based on fear because people don't want to face certain things. They don't want to face that. We usually pray to kind of get out of the problematic episodes of our life or relationships. Letter C, Jesus asked the question, do you believe? Let's take a look here for a moment. Let me just cite a couple of verses rather quickly, and there's many more, but I think it helps mark the occasion. Jesus will lay it out there, then he's going to ask people, do you believe? Faith is a noun. Believe is the verb. Do you believe? Will you continue to believe? Will you continue to have faith? Matthew 9:28, and when he had come into the house, the blind men came to him, And Jesus said to them, "Do you believe that I'm able to do this?" And they said to him, "Yes, Lord." How about John chapter 1, verse 50? Jesus answered and said to him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these." Let's take another one. I think it's important. John chapter 9, verse 35. And Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when he had found him, he said to him, "Do you believe in the Son of God?" Wow, how powerful is that? I want one more just to show you, because the Lord may be telling you or me, you're going through something, but he's asking, waiting, "Do you believe me? Do you believe my word? Are you a student of the word enough to say, I'm standing and believing this promise?" Here's another one. It's found in John chapter 11, verse 26. "And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." And then he says, "Do you believe this?" Wow. We know he's talking about eternal life. So let's just take for a moment, because we're dealing with Jesus asks the question, "Do you believe?" It's a choice of faith. Where are we going to put that, right? What God said? What our circumstances are dictating? Whoa, all's disastrous. Or even the enemy of your soul, "I will take you out." No, you won't. God's word says. God's word says. So let's look here, because Psalm 56:3, remember that? "Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you." Psalm 56:3 is a good one. But let's look here for a moment. Evaluate recent decisions in matters of faith in the following circumstances. I'm going to lay these out for you, just read them. But it's important for you to say, "I'm making a choice over these areas of my existence and of my life here on earth." Evaluate. And if you can, when you think it through, because we will provide these declarations on our life group questionnaire, and you'll see them if you were to go on our website under resources, under sermons, you'll see the same points of interest that I'm now presenting to you today. Take a look at that. "In my home, I'm choosing to believe, dot, dot, dot." What are you choosing to believe? Another one, "In my job, I'm choosing to believe." It's a choice. I am making a choice in my job. What would somebody maybe want? "I'm going to choose that God's going to bless me to be an effective witness, because I'm going to be such a great worker. I will even be compensated with annual raises that I just did not expect would ever happen." Choose to believe that. Why? Because the Word of God says that God will supply. God will supply. How about another one? "In my finances, I'm choosing to believe." Here's another one. "In my health, I am choosing to believe." My health could be aging and achy, but I am choosing to believe that God will give strength to his people, Psalm 29:11, and will bless his people with peace, Psalm 29:11. I'm choosing that. How about in your emotions? "In my emotions, I'm choosing to believe." How you're thinking, how you go to bed at night, peaceful rest. And then finally, "In my world, I am choosing to believe." I wanted to add, "In a world falling apart, I am choosing to believe." That's where prayer is so powerful. Come out from prayer and say, "Man, God's going to take care of things." And finally, I just need to answer one last one. It's point number 3, the gift of faith. Gift of faith is a gift. It's one of the 9 gifts. It's listed in 1 Corinthians 12:9. I just need to bring that up. Please be a part of our discipleship classes. Gift of faith is something that God gives it's just a sovereign move, and there's no human doubts, there's no reasoning. You just have this complete confidence that God is going to sovereignly come through. It's an amazing thing, and it's usually for a situation or a setting. It almost frustrates people that say, "Well, how could you be so confident? God hasn't helped you before." Yes, but I believe. And people that move in the miraculous, people that move in the prophetic, they move in oftentimes the gift of faith. A couple of examples, and I just want to close off with this and prepare our hearts for communion. I remember in Banning the first time I had a welling of faith. I usually had a struggle and believe God, and just he came through to and to validate his word through actions. But I remember one time being called into a hospital in San Bernardino because a young man who was a motorcycle enthusiast, stunt rider, jumping just heights to 40 feet, trying to stretch it to 65 feet, dirt mound to dirt mound, stunt rider with moves in the air, and he crashed in his backyard in San Bernardino, severed his neck, cerebellum, and fluids. How he survived from that point of being unconscious to the hospital is a miracle. But I remember being called in to basically say the last rites. And during that time, the hospital room and ICU is filled with literally about 40, maybe more people. Everybody weeping. Pictures of this young man jumping motorcycle stunts in midair. And here he was, all set up with electrodes and ventilators. And I remember making my way up to that room, and I heard God say, "I will heal that boy. You just speak the name of Jesus." So I went in feeling very confident that this young man, and I was just telling the family, he's going to be okay. Well, that was helpful. It felt like there was a soothing going on in the room. He's going to be okay. God does miracles. Do you believe? Oh, we're believing for a miracle, Pastor. It was dreadful to see all the sorrow, his girlfriend and all the families and aunts and uncles. They were literally there to say goodbye. But I just very simply just spoke and talked to that person. I'm confident that people who are in a comatose state can hear and do hear. I was telling him, God's going to resurrect you and give you a new life. I spoke in the name of Jesus, spoke his name. And literally within a week, he was out of that hospital. To this day, it's pretty miraculous. He's curved back on his stunts, but he's a pretty amazing young man. God spoke, "I'm going to heal it." I felt very good going in to pray and even saying God's going to heal. But it's powerful when that happens. Same with my mother-in-law, Dolly. A year ago in June, we felt that she was not going to be around, and it was for her birthday. We were confident June the 8th, 2019, we gathered family and her uncles came from back, her brothers came from back east, Ainsley's uncles, and there to really kind of be with Dolly. But we knew that God was going to heal her, and he did. It's a powerful time when you pray for the family. It takes some fight of faith, but you just know God's going to come through and you have that confidence. It's like, yes, things are going to be okay. And my dear mother-in-law, Dolly Millett, is just doing great here. She's been a significant member here at our church for years. So remember once again, the choice of faith and genuine faith is that the Lord is with you and God's word is true, and especially that God will not fail you or his word. Father, I thank you for your goodness right now. We believe even now as we just gather around these communion elements. Lord, you're not only here in our place where we live, where we work, and are watching now. Lord, we welcome you as we honor you, Almighty God, who sent Jesus to redeem us, we believe. And we thank you for right actions and proper faith. We put our faith in the cross, the power of the resurrection, in Jesus' name. I'm going to invite you, if you can and have it ready, let's take our communion elements. Let's participate. We are people of the covenant. That's why it's important. We take a look at this book called the Old Testament or Old Covenant and New Testament or New Covenant. Wow, we enter in because somebody died. Somebody gave their blood, and the testimony or the covenant now is in action. I enter in, so do you. Let's take our bread right now and just ask the Lord, if you're needing something physically, let's believe for that. Lord, we thank you. Your word is so true that by your stripes, Lord Jesus, we were healed. You took stripes many, many years ago, but the effects of the healing come right now, right now, right where we believe, right now, in Jesus' name. Let's go ahead and participate together. Amen. The cup Jesus said, "This cup now represents the new covenant in my blood, which I shed for you. If you're with me now, wouldn't it be great? It's a declaration. I believe what Jesus said, and I believe I am a son, or you a daughter, or a son of God." Isn't it great? Beloved, now are we the sons of God, 1 John 3:1. Now. So as we lift our cup, thank you, Lord, for just washing us clean of our sins. And when we need to ask for forgiveness, we believe you forgive and cleanse us from all iniquity. Lord, we thank you for the cross in Jesus' name. Let's go ahead and participate. It's amazing. Faith is a very powerful, powerful thing. It's a great gift God's given to us. It's in response to anything God says. I want to thank you for joining me today. You heard the Lord's voice to say, "Why don't you jump on church service today at Hope Chapel?" I thank you for coming. And I know our Heavenly Father thanks you too, because you were obedient and stayed to communion. Well, let me pray off that blessing. Thank you once again, and stay tuned, because I'll be back with you how you who call Hope Chapel your home church, how you can continue to participate through your tithes and offerings this day. So thank you. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord cause his countenance to come upon you and your home and give you peace. The Lord bless you. God bless you, and thank you for joining me today. I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach. It's our desire to bring the teachings of this church to others globally. If today's message has brought you closer to Jesus, we want to know. Can you send us an email to office@hopechapelhb.org? Would you consider supporting this ministry financially? You can give securely online at hopechapelhb.org/give. If a check is your preferred method, you can send a mailed check to Hope Chapel, P.O. Box 548, Huntington Beach, California, 92648. If you want to be contacted by Hope Chapel, would you consider subscribing to our weekly newsletters at hopechapelhb.org/subscribe? Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. We want to thank you once again for joining us, and God bless you.